So everything's been building towards April for sure, and you must be feeling this in various different ways. There are a lot of different ways to interpret it because we are in such a rapidly accelerating decentralization of time and also of gravity, by the way. And this decentralization means that we are having very disparate, different experiences from each other in many different ways as we attune more correctly to our own essence, our own center, and the rhythms of experience that emanate out from that for us to follow, to be entrained to in our activities. One of the really big themes of April is something that I touched upon when I spoke about last year, when I spoke about the 2024 energies, and I've actually been speaking about this in different ways for the last few years, is this concept of the early builders. So we're in a larger landscape for 2024 where the planetary energy theme is absolute revelation, that everything is revealed, and this is best approached from an internal perspective, but we can also see it being reflected out around us externally in many different ways as well. And the sub-theme there was that the early builders are building the plane while flying it. And I know from conversations with some of you already in 2024 that this, you're really feeling this. And many also are feeling it without a really clear sense of, but what does that mean? What am I actually supposed to be doing? And also there may be a sensation of a lot of different ideas about what you could be doing or want to be doing and how to get kind of clarity around that. And April is really going to be a coalescing month for this work. So there's a lot of different ways that you want to approach that. I'll actually be offering a two-day live small group retreat with limited seats in April, and I'll leave the link down below for how you can access that if you want to come and have a lot of support and be in an incredibly nurturing environment with others like you as we explore and bring in your vision for yourself and some clarity and specificity around implementation, financial feasibility, all these other kinds of pieces as well. So what does it mean to be an early builder and what are you building, right? So the energy architecture that has been holding up the extractive structures in society for thousands of years, that energy is gone. It has been removed from the planet. So these structures that really are the dominant structures of society around the planet in various different ways, they are now in a sort of an internal energetic freefall. There's nothing propping them up from the inside. What that looks like from the outside is that many of them are just sort of crumbling away and dissolving like dust in the wind, but many of them are actually hardening right now. And you see this if you look around at different societal structures where you can perceive this is, you know, an entirely extractive structure. You can see the hardening, and it's this sort of like from the outside in attempt to strengthen the structure by those who don't want it to fall. And the hardening, it feels like the structures are turning into more and more of like this concrete energy around it, like trying to fortify it, trying to keep it, lock it into place, becoming more and more intractable, more and more inflexible, less willing or even capable of being collaborative, of flowing, of being fluid, of adapting in any way, shape, or form. And this is creating an enormous amount of pain for humans and other non-humans that are beings that are affected, animals, plants, trees, ocean, you know, etc., that are affected by these structures, which varies depending on where you are and what kind of a being you are and all of that, because it's making these structures like harder to deal with, right? Like before you might've been dealing with that structure and it was really annoying and painful, but now it's like dealing with that structure feels like you're getting hit over the head with like a hammer, because its concretization process that it's under right now is in fact making it more of a kind of a bludgeoning force. So in the short term, my advice is to step away from these structures as much as you can. You may feel that you have a very clear role to be involved in the final dissolution of these structures, in which case I then would suggest that you really kind of figure out how to get armored up around it. But know that ultimately what's happening is this outside-in concretization, it will fail. It will fail. And it will just sort of just fall apart. And it may fall apart in chunks. Or it may fall apart in like being blasted to smithereens. That'll vary from location to location. But the way you can tell what's going on and how intense it is, let's see. So we're talking about a larger shift on the planet from extractive to regenerative. And by on the planet, I mean among humans, apologies for not being more clear here, in society, what I mean. So for humans, the shift that is required to stay on the planet is from extractive, the taking, or existing only to be taken from, to be extracted from, either way, doesn't matter, into regenerative, where the interactions nourish and feed and expand and uplift everyone in the interaction. And it kind of continues to grow and to build from there. So these extractive structures, you will know them in part by the ways in which their words or their policies, if you look very closely, are in absolute rejection and denial of life force. Particularly, yes, we'll just leave it at that for now, of life force. So you can see this around the world stage in a variety of different ways. You can interpret this how you will through your own lenses. You can see this very, very loudly, in particular, in the United States. And that's not an accident. The United States does tend to dominate the world stage in terms of what people are looking to. The United States also is, from certain astrological perspectives, just having its Pluto return now, which for some people that's meaningful, or has just had it. And then we have this huge 100% solar eclipse that's cutting a swath across the United States in April. And it is one of three such solar eclipses crisscrossing the United States. It's incredible. I'm not going to get a lot into the eclipse. Other people are covering and sharing that. If you're interested in it, I don't need to add anything more to that conversation. There are a bunch of other things that are going on as well, right? In terms of like planetary conjunctions and other interesting things that have been happening. We just came out of the March equinox, which was, a complete and utter rebirth. And it's been a very intense process, very beautiful process, but very intense for many. I feel increasingly, people have asked me, why aren't you doing more transmissions? I feel increasingly disconnected from the collective energetics of humans. And I finally understand this is a function of this decentralization of time and gravity that I've been speaking about for a while now in various settings, because people are having really different experiences. So there isn't one singular experience really to tap into in an easy way. And a big part of what I understand now, my transmissions have been in the past, has been to kind of translate some of that. And I'm not really like it's increasingly not interesting to me, nor is it relevant to do that kind of group translation, because it's really time for you to come into your own around this and to stop looking to others for it. It doesn't mean that I'm going to stop doing transmissions. I'm doing this one to support a key energetic that's important, but it's more specific, right? Because we're talking about the early builders, which isn't everybody at all. It's a very small percentage. A very small percentage of the population. So let's talk about them. Let's talk about early building. What does that mean? As these societal structures are falling down all around us, some people, their attention is not on that. Their attention is almost exclusively or entirely exclusively on what is the new society that we are going to put foundations into place for, we're going to have kind of inroads in for. And so there's both a kind of like, what are structural foundations? What are that, you know, that kind of are relevant for a lot of different people? What are kind of energetic architecture structural foundations that are relevant for the whole, for humans all around the planet? And then there are also this sort of like actual physical creating of things, whether it's physical items or offers or materials or processes or inventions or art, everything you can imagine that is being put together and offered in a way that is sort of like creating little dots of light that over time get connected. Or another way to think about it is that it's like little islands emerging above the waterline, creating havens for people to go to as the old society is falling. And then as sort of the waters of that old society continue to recede, more and more of these islands come together, forming kind of an archipelago system, ultimately forming a very rich, nourishing, place for humans who want to be in this new energetic and this new way of living to come more together and out of isolation, be supported in various different ways. So this is a long process. It's not an overnight process. Some of the characteristics of the early builders. So these are going to be people who, generally speaking, have had the experience of being way ahead of the curve of humanity. So you've often been told by people or felt yourself to be someone who's like several years or decades ahead of your time in various different ways. You have a lot of different ideas all of the time. You maybe have difficulty dealing with the linear process of completing things and find that patience around like actually completing things can be challenging for you. At the same time, you may find that when you're in the work of something that you're truly like in love with, that you have, it's not even about patience. It's about you don't want to be anywhere else. This is the only thing you want to be in the experience of, is the doing of this for hours and hours and hours and days and days and days on end, that you find it hard to remember to take a break to have food, as an example, an extreme example, but it's not uncommon. What you are coming into now energetically is the requirement to begin grounding all of this, and the requirement to understand that as beautiful and brilliant as your mind is in service of all of this, it cannot be the leader of it. And learning how to let the mind move to the back, let the mind not be in charge. And the mind has a lot of preferences that are not going to serve you going forward in this work. So some of those preferences are going to be things like, I want to understand all of it. I want to have a really clear story about it. I need to have like a really clear mental model about everything. I want to nest the story of why I'm doing this in my past experiences in a lot of different ways. I want everything to make sense now. I want it to be orderly. I don't want chaos. I don't want ambiguity. I don't want it to be hard. I don't want to struggle with various different tools that I might need to become skillful with in order to implement the thing. These could be anything, right? Like it could be like different kinds of artistic processes or different kinds of technologies or different kinds of hands-on physical types of tools. It could be anything at all. Learning about where your discomfort is something to lean into and where your discomfort is actually a useful magnetic telling you this isn't the right path. These are two extraordinarily different things, but the nervous system and the brain, the neurobiology that still hasn't been fully decolonized, will confuse the two, particularly for those with a very high degree of sensitivity. So if you're sensitive to energetics, if you feel you're intuitively sensitive, which if you're still here and you're feeling like, yes, early builder is me, then you probably have a strong sense of that. Unfortunately, with the decolonization of the neurobiology that's required, particularly within the nervous system, your magnetic system, right? So the mind is the electrics. We talked about this before many times. The mind is the electrical. The magnetics are coming from, let's just call it the heart, but it's really the essence, which is actually more in the kind of the creation portal space in the body, which is the womb space, which, by the way, male biological people have as well. It's not about whether or not you have a physical biological uterus. But that essence space, that is really the magnetics. And we're now coming into this time where you need to be able to correctly hear inside and feel even the sensation of that magnetic system, which does not have a lot of story attached to it. It's just a very simple, like the magnet is pulling you towards the thing, it's a yes, or the magnet is gently or firmly or violently pushing you away from the thing or pushing the thing away from you, the repulsion of it. And repulsion not in an emotional sense or like a, that's disgusting, just repulsed. You're repulsed from the thing, or you're pulled into the thing. You're attracted into the thing. It's very simple. And you can get really good at this sort of like, oh yeah, more of that. Okay. It's like the little kids game where you're like, you know, you're blindfolded and you're doing the like, and people are telling you warmer, warmer. And you're kind of edging this way and you're like, oh, I'm walking over here. Warmer, hotter. Like you're getting closer and closer to the thing, you know, colder, colder. It's like that. And it just functions in that very simple way. And it is unerringly accurate if you've cleaned and cleared all the barnacleization, all the programming, all of the whatever you want to call it, out of the way. Because otherwise it's creating static and you're getting the wrong signals, or you're interpreting the signals in the wrong way is the more accurate way to say that. So discomfort is different from not being in action from joy. So our actions are increasingly required to, and in fact, for many of us, we're already coming to the place where we're incapable of doing any action that doesn't feel like it's coming directly from our essence, which is our joy, which is our bliss, our pure, unmitigated, unfiltered essence is our natural state of bliss. And when we're just in it, we just know it and it's what we feel and it's just completely perfect and wonderful and amazing, even if circumstances create discomfort, that becomes irrelevant. It's just not part of the calculus of whether or not you're going to kind of keep in the experience of this. And it's very much an outside of time thing, right? So like my brother Barrett will talk about bliss is anticipation without waiting, which I love the way he says that because it's absolutely right. And so this time of coming into the early builder piece is very much about honoring that and coming into devotion to that. And some people really collapse into this, like, if it isn't sort of, you know, dreaminess all day long, then I don't want to do it. Well, that's one experience, and you can have that, but you're probably not actually an early builder if that's where you're actually oriented. You're probably in a different role or a different place. But if you're feeling the early builder, like you want to be creating stuff. You want to be doing things. You have things that you have stories you want to tell. You have art you want to create. You have lives you want to affect in a good way. You want to see your own magic out in the world, helping to create the new that you actually came here to experience. There are many different roles in how to experience the new. So I'm not saying you have to be an early builder. I'm helping you feel into if you are, and then what is necessary for that. Yeah, so hopefully that's making some sense. So we're just in the very beginning of all this. So you also have to be willing to kind of go the distance with some of these things. Some of you have plans that you've put into place for years that you feel like, oh, finally. And that's part of that being ahead of the curve thing, right? It's like you have had plans for maybe even a decade or longer or your whole life. And finally, now you have this sensation of, oh, I think finally now this might start to come into being, that it might be time for this to come into form. And everything that I've been like building and creating up until now has all just been prologue, has all just been precursor, but also has been useful foundational building blocks or ways for me to learn things that I needed in order to be effective doing what I'm going to be doing next, right? So this special small group retreat that I'm doing later in April that you might want to check out, we're going to get really tactical, really specific with where you're at, what you need, why, how do we kind of start to do some of that decolonization around some of your ideas in particular, noticing where some of the pitfalls might be, getting into kind of financial practicalities, really working with the energetic architecture as well of what you're creating and having that opportunity to bring in and receive my awareness of that energy architecture and to help you kind of organize it and clean it up and coalesce it and make it stronger, as well as with all the obvious kind of practical, tactical, physical world things that go along with it. So it's going to be really fun. We're going to have a lot of different materials. I'm also offering two private, like one-on-one individual retreat options, packages, totally separate from this small group event. So if you're feeling like I really want to go deeper and I want to do it one-on-one and I'm ready to put resources into that, let me know. This is a really great time. April and May are really, really wonderful times for the early builders to just start to really get organized. I've got the group retreat scheduled for, I think it's the 20th and the 21st, or maybe the 21st and the 22nd. I can't remember, but it's that weekend because April 20th is this incredible Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. And Jupiter is just one of my like favorite beings in the cosmos. And we dance and play and sing all the time. And Jupiter usually presents to me in a female voice, but not always. And she said, do it this time. And I had no plan, by the way. And this is actually kind of a classic early builder thing. I had no plan at all that I was going to be doing this. This was not in my personal roadmap of the things that I'm creating. And it just dropped in and fully formed. Here, you're doing this, and this is what it's going to look like. And, you know, write it down quickly. I'm giving you dictation right now, kind of thing. And it was very much Jupiter was part of that me receiving, if you will, that transmission from the cosmos. But I expect it to be super fun time. So I also want to talk a little bit about the Triple Helix upgrade and the source, the new source codes, those resources that I shared recently. I hope that you've been working with those for sure. I want you to come even more into that feeling of like all the different center points within everything, like they actually all stack up. They actually all line up. When you're in your own center, then it's like you can just sort of see right down through or up through into like, oh, and there's my center, there's Earth's center, there's the sun, there's the central sun, there's the, you know, like all the way through to source. You know, there's life force, there's the cosmos, there's the, you know, all the things. And they're all right there immediately. And they actually all kind of collapse into one, and collapse isn't quite the right word, but they're all from the same one sort of singularity point that is source, that but also is everything. And this capacity to tolerate the paradox of all of this is going to be required, because part of this phase that we're going into is about paradox in many ways, or like some might call it an age of paradox. I would say it's more that paradox is increasingly present in our experience as a byproduct of our increased or enhanced capacity for multi and even pan-dimensional viewing of quote-unquote reality. And so as a result, because certain ways of seeing things from one-dimensional perspective, seeing the same thing from one-dimensional perspective as from another, they may be in direct contradiction to each other, paradox. And both things are still true. So coming into awareness of that is going to be very useful and nurturing, actually. I personally love paradox, have loved it my entire life, and I find it almost comforting when it's like, ah, yes, both these things are true. I just laugh and I'm like, I'm in my happy place, which has been hard to apply in like human living, but you're going to find it really increasingly important and easy to apply that in human living. There are elements of paradox that can you can experience in a very sort of shattering way, in a very sort of like, oh, I'm in like a psychosis moment or an existential despair moment. That's okay. Just let it. That's just mind sort of falling apart, and it needs to. Mind cannot hold all of this. That doesn't mean that you have no mind, because you're in a human body. And there are times when we need a little bit of story to organize, to allow things to be coherent. And the human brain is designed for pattern recognition. So it's going to be grabbing for what is the pattern? What is the story? Make it make sense. Just like make it make sense a little bit. Be able to hold it loosely. Hold it loosely, right? You don't squeeze it too tight. It'll be really awful and painful if you do. So this triple helix piece also, right? So this shift from kind of like the double, this back and forth oscillation between sort of point A and point B, right? And finding that center point in that line. And then the third piece is kind of piercing that line and pulling it up into a triangle. And then now we can sort of bounce around between all those three sides of that triangular kind of helix. And it's sort of spinning around, and it makes it a lot easier than this rapid fire back and forth oscillation in the double only version of things. What also kind of opened up in me, at least almost immediately, like as I was even recording for you the triple helix one, was like a quadruple, where it became a square. And a square, obviously, of equal sides, and again, equal angles. And then it was sort of squares within the square, and all sort of spiraling, sort of a, like in the triple one, I showed you an image in the Substack version where it has like triangles, equal triangles that are all spiraling in. Same thing happening with the square, and then a five-sided, a six-sided, a seven-sided, an eight-sided, a nine-sided, etc. So, but the square one feels really important. And in the square one, the sort of the fifth point that pierces comes up from the center of the square and pulls it up. And you can kind of feel it as I say that, right? Like it sort of pulls up, and essentially from a shapes perspective, then kind of creates a pyramid, right? And all of these points, whether it's the third one piercing the double, right, or the fourth one opening from the triangle, or the fifth one opening from the square. These are actually, you can think of these, if you like the super macro, like which is where I am, these are actually the single point at the tip of the new cosmic spiral that is like boom, 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 spiraling along in the unfurling of this new cosmic sphere that opened December 2nd of 2022, which I've spoken about a lot in previous transmissions. And that spiral point is just like zooming along in the unfurling of that new cosmic sphere. And it's piercing everything that needs to be pierced by it in order to kind of go forward. And my personal experience in my being as entirely integrated into my cosmic self is that that is my job, to ride the tip of that cosmic spiral. And when I'm in that space, like, I mean, everything else just sort of falls away, and it's a really beautiful experience. And translating that into my human life has been a beautiful experience as well, and sometimes very challenging, as you can imagine. So that might be fun for some of you. This is, let's see, what else wants to be said about that? I think that's all that really wants to be said about that right now. Yeah. It may be sometimes that you find it useful to think about that kind of piercing single point as the thing that is sort of, doesn't collapse the paradox. It's more like it'll creates the capacity to handle and live with the paradox. So it's not about collapsing duality into quote unquote unity. It's about creating the capacity to experience both duality and unity. And unity consciousness is something that, depending on what you mean by it, is something to really look into. If you're talking about everybody being the same and merging back into one, we did all that already. Like, we're not doing that again. That's not interesting. That's not what we're here for. This cosmos is designed for differentiated communion. And so it's, if you're talking about unity consciousness from the place of celebrating the differentiated, the many different, varied, beautiful, unique expressions of life force that everybody is, and I don't just mean everybody in the humans, I mean every being throughout the cosmos is this incredibly unique, beautiful expression of the deep sacred current of life force, which is the living essence of the cosmos herself, which is expressed out of source in order for source to see all these different possibilities, because causelessness can't have experience. So this beautiful experience of all of us kind of coming into the capacity to see that causelessness that I am, that you are, at the center of your very being, where your center is essentially that singularity point that's also connected into source, that is also where your unique prism allows you to express a unique version of life force here. That's your essence. We have that opportunity to come into a valuing and an enjoyment of that everywhere. So if that's what you mean by unity consciousness when you use the phrase, great. I just don't use any of that language, but I know a lot of people do, and so sometimes it's useful to speak to. Also, by the way, in case you weren't aware, I shared out like a few weeks ago, I think maybe a couple weeks ago, a beautiful little digital library of materials on essence connection foundations. That's just really important that there be more and more of this stuff that's really kind of purified and true and available to people at various different levels. So some of these are things that I've been working with for years, but mostly only in very private containers that have not been affordable for people. And I'm still very much enjoying the work that I'm doing in those private containers, and they are actually changing the world in various different ways. But it's also part of my own directions, if you will, to get certain materials out to you in affordable ways. That's why The Joy of Money came out last year when it did and is still available as an incredible resource for people. The Founder Codes came out in two different waves, and that's available even for as little as nothing in a pay what you choose option. And the Essence Connection Foundations materials also have like four different tiers where you can choose which one you want to pay in order to exchange and experience those. So, and then this coming retreat for the early builders is also like, I've never offered something that's a 2-day intensive retreat like this at such a tiny little price point from my perspective, but the money energies and I felt into what's the number that's going to feel the most joyous and the most correct in terms of the energy architecture of what we're doing. And it was like, bloop, 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 there it is. Okay, great. There we go. Handled, done. Like there was no discussion. And this is part of something that the early builders really need to get a handle on, by the way. It's not about like, what will the market bear? Like that's irrelevant. It's what is the energy architecture of the thing that you're creating? And then how do you hear what are like the numbers around money energies that are going to support the strongest version of that energy architecture? And these are things that we'll get into in the retreat, by the way. And also bits and pieces of this are touched into by the Joy of Money materials. So you should be accessing those at a minimum anyway. And it's just a really fun way to, you know, zip along through this wild human life experience that we're having. If for any reason you are unable to scrape together the pennies to do the very affordable retreat, send an email to my team at support@melaniegillespie.com and let us know what's going on with you, why you want to be there, and why, you know, that very small amount isn't something that works for you and what does, and we'll see what we can accommodate. I think that we will try very hard to be able to have a couple of, you know, very intensely scholarshiped kinds of spots if possible, but we'll have to kind of wait and see what the energetics are, because as always, it's just going to be the energetics of the situation to know what's available, to know what ensures the correct strength and potency of the experience itself that we're creating. Okay, so yeah, I hope that you're doing all right. I hope that you're having fun. I hope that you're not having any sensation of I'm doing it wrong, because it isn't always fun. Because I can tell you from personal experience over these last few weeks, there have been times of absolute, like, it is amazing. And throughout the entire time, like, I've just been really aware of how incredible the energetics are and feeling super great and not really very, not like often outside of all story, which has made it very hard to function in certain human ways. But that's also been like, fine, whatever. It's all good. It's all going to be perfect. It's already perfect. But also there certainly have been some challenges. Like it's sort of, as things are moving through and shifting and upgrading in the body, there's like lots of interesting challenges that happen. I know that many people are having challenges in their relationships with others as things are intensifying. I know that people who are oriented around what's happening in society are very challenged by the incredible pain that is being witnessed and experienced around the globe at this time, as those structures that we spoke about earlier are kind of concretizing and becoming harsher and harder and blunter before they fall apart. So if you're someone who is here to kind of tear stuff down, like those are places to go and tear stuff down. Go for it. Go for it. But also if you feel that you're actually more here for building than for tearing down, then watch out for the desire, like that kind of like, oh yeah, I want to just tear shit down. If you're not really here and oriented for that, then like kind of descending into it is actually like a diminishment of your own potency. So learn your potency, learn what your function is as a being, learn what your essence is, and let your essence be that organizing principle that it is, and provide any instructions to you. That is the whole thing right there. Because we need all the things, right? So which parts of that are you? Which parts of that are me? So if nothing else, start with that essence connection foundation materials and work with that. I love you infinitely. I love you completely. And we are all family. We are all connected. Mwah.